Our next church in Abbey Leaks Union is Killermo, another church with a remarkably distinctive and highly visible church tower that dominates many surrounding square kilometres. I always think, and thought even before I came to the diocese, with considerable admiration of the amount of effort that must have been taken to put up road signs all around the surrounding countryside to Killermo Church of Ireland Church. There seem to be so many of them, and wonderful to think of the assumption that so many people would want to be trying to find their way there. I have a particular affection for Killermo because I often say I wouldn't exist without it, because my parents met in Killermo in the war years when my grandfather was rector there. And talking of the war years, I had a kind of flashback on one visit to Killermo to the world of those times and how everybody used their bicycles. I was once in Killermo not terribly long ago and was rather touched to see some good old-fashioned, rather old-fashioned bicycles leaning against the church wall during the service, no locks on them or anything. And it reminded me of a picture taken during the war when outside Church of Ireland and other churches, you'd see dozens, even hundreds sometimes, of bicycles just piled up outside, unlocked and just left there while people worshipped inside, because that was the way they travelled. In 1924, things were settling down after the Civil War, but the demands, the administrative and economic demands on the new government were great. One of them was the costs of dramatically cutting the size of the army, which was no longer necessary as it had been in the times of greater turbulence. And that led to sensitivity over discharging people, the costs of long-term military pensions. The pension bill was getting too high. And on June the 5th, Ernest Blythe, the Northern Protestant Finance Minister, caused the old age pension to be reduced by a shilling. It was a notorious incident, the only example up to the recent financial crash of the diminution of an existing benefit. And Blythe was never forgotten for taking a shilling off the pension. It's worth remembering this for a number of reasons, as well as the fact that it almost became the stuff of comedy. First of all, how the elderly are cared for is often an indication of how civilised a society is. Many countries are far better than us at this, and particularly at taking the view that the wisdom of the older people must be heard. So many of our agonisings about COVID and nursing homes during the pandemic has poignantly proved this point. One of the things I've learned from meeting leaders of the Orthodox churches is the deference amongst Orthodox bishops and patriarchs always given to the oldest person at the meeting. Even perhaps if they're a little weary from attending too many meetings and being part of too many discussions, nevertheless, there is always an opportunity given for their perspective to be offered and respected. Now, politicians can assume the elderly to be an easy target. They're very foolish, for the senior citizens' vote is a massive thing, and governments learned more recently. People may recall the demonstration by pensioners in Westland Row a few years ago against how they were being treated in the budget. The political power of the senior generation can be mobilised, and therefore by politicians it should be feared. Now, a flip side is that the higher turnout of older voters, which characterises elections, can be a cause of decisions that sometimes have costs for the young, who are much more affected by them. If you analyse the British Brexit vote, many who voted for it clearly were in the senior generation. It's been argued that a significant number of them had even left this world before it took effect. So there are the ups and downs of handling the senior citizen vote. But I'm sure in electoral terms nowadays, nearly a century on from Blythe, there are no such political generation gaps here. At least one hopes so.